John Gambling with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
In Studio 4, you're absolutely right. John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Mr. Mayor, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
What is the significance of the number 365 and the number 1600 and the number 311?
They're all divisible by something.
Negative.
What?
Well, there's 365 salt spreaders ready to go.
Oh, you've been talking to Doherty.
1,600, you betcha. 1,600 plows. And while we don't think we'll get enough snow to hire day laborers to shovel the street corners and fire hydrants, if we do,
you
call 311.
All right, so the city's all you didn't give me the pile of the tons of salt that were ready to go.
Lots. You picked the number. Okay. I don't know how John tells us how many tons. He doesn't go in there with a little scale. And
how long has he been doing this?
He's been commissioner twice. Once for so far a little over eight years with me, and before that, and he started at the bottom, worked his way up.
And he's been making up those numbers ever since.
It's like the number of people in Times Square on New Year's Eve. Any number you want.
But
it's fascinating. Usually storms come up the East Coast and go through New England, and we get blanketed as it comes over us. This time, the storms are coming across the country, going up the coast a little bit over Washington, Virginia, southern part of New Jersey, and then turn directly east, and we don't get it. Let us hope that happens again, because you never know. We're on the ready. I was in Washington for a dinner last Saturday night, and they had 5 inches of snow.
They freak.
Then they don't get a snow. They don't have the New York City Sanitation Department. Well, the best thing I always love when people tell me this, and they do every time, this is a storm, when they drive into New York City from another state or another county, they say, you know, instantly when you're in New York City because the roads are clear.
I've said that exact same thing to you because I commute out of Nassau County.
I'm not knocking Nassau County?
I didn't say you were. I was the one knocking Nassau County. even though the Long Island Expressway is a state road, you hit the LIE in Queens, and whatever magic fairy dust you put on it, it generally cleans it right up.
Well, the magic fairy dust is good planning, good work, lots of money spent on equipment and overtime.
Exactly.
There's no secrets here.
No,
you know. But it was fascinating. In Washington, I was driving in from the airport. Normally, it's a 20-minute drive. This time, it took 45 minutes to drive in. And, thank you very much. You
asked Stu here.
171,657 tons of salt.
So you got to know.
Anyways, we're driving
and
in.
You're trying to cut down on salt. So.
Well, different kind of salt, but yes, just salt. We're coming in, and it's a 5-lane road on each side, and so I'm looking the other direction on the other side. There is a plow, small truck, small plow, coming down the middle lane with the plow literally perpendicular to the road, pushing the snow from the middle into either of the lanes on both sides where people were driving.
They don't know how to do it.
Actually, Washington has a good mayor. He really is a smart guy, works very hard, but they just don't have, you know, they don't have the budget to do things. They don't have the experience because they don't get snow all the time, and they're better at some things than we are. But in this case, I'll put the New York Sanitation Department at the top.
All right. Well, they'll be busy overnight and into tomorrow.
Yeah, starts here tonight, ends sometime midday tomorrow. You know, nobody's going to know how much snow is it, 3 inches, 6 inches, or if the storm were to change north, it could be a lot more. When you get up in the morning, tune in.
I see. Let me see your hand.
What's the matter with my hand?
Well, I just want to see if you were missing any fingers from this year's event with Staten Island Chuck.
I pointed out last night, I spoke at the Cathedral Club, which is the Brooklyn Archdiocese fundraising organization. They really do some good stuff, and every year they invite me to come and speak, and Bishop DiMaggio is there, and he's really a very smart, hard-charging guy who cares very much about helping people. And I pointed out, I held up this finger. I put this finger in the ways so that I could protect the people of New York. This groundhog was out to get everybody, all 8.4 million people, and I stopped him with that finger.
Still, fell on the grenade for us.
Well, I still have, if you look very carefully, there's still the scars and probably a dent in the bone. Now, this time he was well-behaved.
I was surprised you went back.
Come on, you know me.
Fearless.
impossible to walk away from that one. You had to be there, and you had to pick them up. And normally they don't bite. This time, when they couldn't get them out last time and this time, too, and the handler is pushing from the back of the cage, and I reached in to grab, and he had a corn cob in his mouth, dropped the corn cob and thought my finger looked more appetizing.
Well, he thought you were going to take the corn.
Ruined a pair of gloves. Great pair of gloves went right through the gloves. So this time I wore zoo gloves, a little bit thicker too.
Smart.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Just in case. But what the good news is that Staten Island Phil, or whatever they call him.
Chuck.
Says short winter.
Yes.
Now, any elected
snow.
Right. It was up to the mayor. Now, can you imagine any mayor saying it's going to be a long winter?
Always go with the better news rather than the worst.
You got it.
So Chuck's a politician.
Chuck's a politician, as was his handler.
Before we get
and it's a great zoo, incidentally.
It is a wonderful place out there. Before we sort of get into the usual stuff here with budgetary problems, MTA, I must admit I didn't see. Tell me about the stats and the stuff you learned about the experiment in Times Square. And traffic and people. And
well, we're going to announce this week what we're doing, so I don't want to jump.
Oh, you haven't?
Jump.
Okay.
Don't jump. But here's the issues. There's a number of things you look at. And they're all important, so forget about what order. You talk to merchants and people who live and work in the neighborhood. Very few living here, a lot of workers and a lot of merchants, and see if they like it. You talk to the tourism businesses that handle all these tourists and the big part of our economy. Do people want to go there? What do they hear? Does it help their business or not? You look at pedestrian injuries and fatalities, traffic accidents, because one of the problems with Times Square is so many people that they had to walk in the streets before, and now they don't. And then you look at traffic. There's a couple ways of looking at it. One is you can hire somebody to drive up and down and across town on each road, and you time it and see how long it takes. What I don't like about those numbers is if the driver wants to make it look good, subconsciously, just step on the gas. Push the light, when you get there and it's about to turn and you just speed up a little bit. But we do have numbers, it's interesting, that are totally independent and really hard to argue with. And they're more reflective of the real world because just driving up or down 6th or 7th Avenue or crossing the cross streets, that's not the average trip most people make in a car. They go from point A to point B, which involves some crosstown and some up and down traffic.
Yeah, you weaves.
Right. But we do have, thanks to technology, the GPS reports. Every taxi cab, remember, when you get in, it knows where you are and the time. And when you get out, it knows where you are and the time.
So you've analyzed that stuff?
And so you take a look and see how long real-time trips are. We had some data before. We have it now. Then you look at both the east side and the west side because you don't want – some people say, well, if the economy is – worse, there's less traffic. If the economy's better, there's more traffic, and you're trying to find out whether the streets are better, but you have to do it in the context of what the real world is. And so we look at east side and west side to see whether similar kinds of trips are better or worse. And then we analyze the data, and then, you keep working at it. And what I will say is I don't hear very many complaints.
Okay. And so next week you're going to...
Yeah.
The report comes out.
And we can talk about this next week.
Okay. Look forward
next
to it.
Next Friday. I know you would. That'll give us something to work
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. 16 after 8 o'clock. Let me take a break here, Mr. Mayor, and we'll come right back. Don't forget, you've got your opportunity at the end of the program at 800-321-0710. If you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg, 800-321-0710.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show. News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
All right, here we go. 20 minutes after 8 o'clock Friday. Mayor Michael Bloomberg is here. St. Vincent's Hospital is a tough one.
Very tough. The hospital business is very tough. And when you listen to all the talk in Washington, we're going to cut back reimbursements, for example, for Medicaid. Or we're going to tax the so-called Cadillac plan so companies don't give as many benefits and then there'll be less business. The other side of that coin, what to one side is expenses they can't afford or what you might call waste, I never would, but you could call it that. The other side, that's their revenue. And St. Vincent's is, maybe they didn't make a lot of right decisions in the past. There's some arguments that they didn't change with the weather, although they have it's got a mission that they would argue is slightly different, and they did take over a number of other hospitals on Staten Island and in Manhattan that were failing, and combining hospitals is very difficult, just the politics and the systems and all that sort of stuff. But anyways, they just don't have the money. Now, the city is what they would call in technical terms overbedded. There are more beds in hospitals in the city than are needed. And the way you look at that is you see how many beds are empty every night. And a hospital that has an empty bed isn't getting any revenue, but they still have a lot of their expenses. On the other hand, empty bedding is a citywide concept. If you want a bed in your neighborhood,
you want it now.
That's a very different thing. So the most important thing to me is how quickly the ambulances can respond. And we've done a lot of work to make sure that if St. Vincent's doesn't have a bunch of ambulances out there, the city fire department ambulances and others can take over. Second thing is you want an emergency room. Most things you just have to stop the bleeding or get the heart going again or get oxygen in or, you know, treat the shock to the body in a burn case. You got to that triage you've got to do right away, and it dramatically improves the life, the possibilities of continuing and living and recovering. Then there is the issue of where you're going to stay for a longer period of time, and people don't want to go to the other side of town or uptown or downtown. They want it in their neighborhood. And then also St. Vincent's, in all fairness, has some, they have an HIV program. They have a number of programs which are unique. But the bottom line is this is a hospital losing between $5 and $10 million a month, and that can't go on. And people say, well, we're going to have another hospital take it over. But no other hospital wants, and I saw Stanley Brezhnev pulled out.
He pulled out.
I mean, they just nobody's going to take it over where all they are doing is keeping the same thing and picking up the expenses, because every one of these hospitals either has or is worried about having their own economic problems. It's just a very tough business.
So what happens to St. Vincent's? Do you think it closes?
I don't know. I mean, you know, you don't want to prejudge. People want to keep it open. It'd be great if you could find a ways to do it. I will say I find it hard to see how you can do that. You might be able to get it through another 6 months or something. The governor's giving them a loan to pay their employees for another month. But unless you can really come up with a business model that works, which is difficult in the best of times for the best of hospitals, it's a really tough proposition to come up with. And remember, there's enormous competition for full-paying patients. I mean, it's another one of these things.
And everybody wants to cherry-pick the money.
Ed Skyler said it yesterday. You know, you go after these industries that pay our taxes, then we don't have an economy. And in this case, if you take away the full-paying patients because they can go elsewhere, then you don't have the revenues to support those who can't afford it. And full-paying patients may very well be willing to go to the other side of town or something. So you have to make it attractive. And you look at some of these hospitals, the wings of the hospital where they are attracting full-paying patients are really quite fancy, and they provide a lot of services. There's a new hospital, a children's hospital, being built down at my alma mater at Johns Hopkins, and the rooms, I'm told, I haven't seen them, but the rooms, I'm told, are just, you know, spectacular. Why? Because people can go elsewhere, and you want to give them the best deal. It's like a hotel. Fancier the room, and the more services, the more likely people are to come to the hotel.
There's a hospital in New Jersey that is advertising on the radio, and one of the things they advertise is the fact that their new wing has flat-screen TVs and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
In this day and age, that's what full-paying patients cost. And, you know, somebody's going to call in and say, oh, well, they shouldn't get it because the people that are don't have the money or getting paid for by Medicaid kinds of programs don't get it. But, you know, the Medicaid money is the public's money, and the hospitals don't get enough of it to cover their costs. So they've got to find other revenue sources. And that's the challenge that St. Vincent's has, is how do you take a hospital when you have lots of competition in the city for the full-paying patients and compete when there's too many beds citywide. Still in the neighborhood, you understand why the people want it there.
What do you think happens if it goes out of business? What happens to the facility? It's just enormous.
Well, it's a piece of real estate. There was a proposal which was through Landmarks going before city planning, I think, or maybe the city council to get approval, the final approvals, to take it and over next to, instead of, build some other real estate where the proceeds from selling the land to the developer would be used to subsidize the hospital, and maybe they'd even get some new facilities in a new building. For example, we're building, you know, when developers want to build big buildings, there's one literally across the street from City Hall, this big 72 Frank Gehry design building. Yeah. There's a school on the first three floors. That
really?
Was part of the deal. Yeah, brand new school. It's one of the new 25
schools. So you get
schools.
Somebody else to finance the school.
Well, it helps, sure, absolutely. Yeah. You're basically selling the air rights over mm-hmm. it, or you make it attractive for everybody. It's a win-win, and the same thing would happen here. Now, whether it gets done or not, I don't know, but my sympathies are with the people running St. Vincent's. There are no easy answers, and there's no hospital that I know of that either isn't in trouble or doesn't worry about getting into trouble. And you got to be very quick. And the trouble is in New York, if a hospital like St. Vincent's wants to change who they serve or how they serve, the community gets involved. Well, the community is interested in providing services to the community. The people running the hospital are interested in that, but also they have to, the reality of the economics.
So you've got
to
survive.
And everybody says, well, let the city of the state subsidize. State doesn't have any money, and the city didn't have any money. I don't know how to break that. But that's and keep in mind, we have 11 phenomenally great hospitals our own. The Health and Hospitals Corporation. That's where the city's money is going to go. And even there, we have enormous deficits staring us in the face. Alan Avilas is trying to make these hospitals more efficient all the time. We keep improving the quality. We're in competition with the private hospitals.
I understand you've become a television star with the job show on NYC One.
We have on NYC, we have a new thing called Job Hunt. It's a real reality TV show. It is all about how you go and navigate today's changing job market and creating new careers. It's how you interview, where you go, what kinds of jobs are likely to be available. I was asked in the press conference, you know, what advice would you give as a business person to somebody interviewing? I said, when you sit down at the desk, somebody interviewing across the desk, you need a job. They need a good employee. And you've got to convince them that you're the person that fits their bill. So, you know, why should they hire you? Not why do you need them to hire you? They've got to do what's in their interest. After all, they're getting paid by their employer. And even a young person straight out of school, you can't. I love these kids that, well, I read about your company. I know how to solve the problem, General Motors or Toyota. I can fix your brake problem. No. I mean, what you can say is I bring enthusiasm and I get along with people and I know how to ask questions and excite everybody and get them to work together. I care. I look at my work ethic. I'm in early. I stay late. I may not have been the best of students, but you know, I mean, part of it is academics, part of it is what kind of person you are. And if you come across like, hey, this person would fit in, he'd make everybody.
Most jobs one can learn. Most, yes. I mean, if you've got the capabilities,
and they talk about technology. I have yet to ever know anybody that came into an organization that knew the technology that organization has. Everyone's different, and they can teach you how to use Windows and things like that. That's not the issue. The question is, can you understand what's going on? It's not the numbers. It's being able to put them in context. And unfortunately, we don't teach that in school anyways near as much as we should.
Well, it's nice that the city's involved with that. It's a good idea. Mr. Mayor, let me take a break here on the half hour, as we always do. 800-321-0710. Got a couple of folks on the line already that have passed muster with Mike Figliola. If you can, you'll be there too. 800-321-0710. Joe Bartlett's got news.
Give John a call now. The John Gambling Show. 800-321-0710.
If you've got the question for the mayor, we got the phones, and then we've got the mayor. 800-321-0710. All right, the usual.
Wait a second. I want to do one thing.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Something nice.
I'm sorry.
There was a woman, Jennifer Jones Austin, 41 years old, who was one of our family service coordinators, worked for the city for a long time. I went to visit her in the hospital about 3 or 4 months ago. It was unconscious, had a long talk with her mother. She is dying of cancer and needs a bone marrow transplant. And so if anybody, bone marrow transplant, all you got to do is give blood, but it has to match perfectly. And she is African-American, and I'm told by the doctors the likelihood of a perfect match is much greater if they look for donor African-American donors. So if you're interested, save Jen Austin.
How old is she?
41 years old, mother of some kids, really a nice person. SaveJenAustin, SaveJenAustin.com. She's got her own website. And there's a whole bunch of churches that you can go to on this weekend and see if you can match. There's the Berkeley Carroll School in Brooklyn and Calvary Baptist Church. That's on Saturday and Sunday. Calvary Baptist Church, Tabernacle of Praise Church, Mocha Moms of Westchester, Thomas Slater Center, First AME Zion Church in Brooklyn, and Flatbush Tompkins Congregational Church. And I wouldn't normally just plug something because a lot of people need help, but this is a woman I knew and know, and hopefully she can find a match.
All right, let us hope so. MTA, the numbers came out. Talked with the governor yesterday about this and the other numerical negatives that everybody is facing these days. Question for you: if the MTA goes to their doomsday budget and starts cutting service, do they lay off the employees when they shut down a subway line?
Look, they have to have fewer employees if they're going to save any money, because
correct,
if you close
correct.
A subway line, the only ways you save money,
that's my question,
is with fewer employees. If you think that there was a lot of mishigas, that's Gaelic for chaos, and craziness, back a month or so ago when Jay Walder, who is a classic, the governor picked the right guy to run this organization, although welcome to the NFL. This is a tough job. Comes here and the world falls apart the first day on him. If you think there was craziness back when he had to cut $100 million out of the budget, he was told the other day, it was the day he and I were together down in the new number 7 line tunnel of under 11th Avenue, he's just been told he's got to cut another $400 million. There is no ways that this is an organization, they keep saying, well, let's cut the fat, let's cut the management. Well, the last thing you want to do in tough times is cut the management. That's when you need better managers to make everybody be able to find a ways to do more with less. Exactly the reverse of what everybody always screams to do. And he's going to have a very tough time. He's either got to find other revenue sources or reduce expenses, but he's can't spend money he doesn't have. And the state obviously doesn't have a lot of money to kick into this. You read about their craziness, their deficits. I can tell you the city doesn't have any extra money. We've got our own problems. And I go back to a couple of years ago, we had one idea as to how to generate monies to make the MTA better, capital funds that we could put in so the subways and buses would be safer and more frequent and more efficient and go better, more pleasurable. And that would have gotten more riders, and it was an incentive to leave your cars at home, which would get more people on the subways and buses, so we have more fares and reduce the congestion and all that sort of stuff. The Albany legislature, and there isn't a second guess, they said no, they had a better idea. Well, so far, their ideas have not generated the kinds of money that the MTA needs. And now, I couldn't disagree more with all these people that say, oh, you cannot spend any money on capital improvements. You've got to spend it on operating. No. That's the worst economics. I mean, people that say this is, I don't know what they're thinking, because unless you make those investments, we're going to be in the same situation next year and next year and next year. And, of course, the people that work there, they want to say, oh, we spend it on operating because we don't want to lay off anybody. The public is going to be faced with more subsidies and more higher fares, whether it's this year or next year or the year after, unless you get out of this cycle. And you can't. Every time, in good times, they don't spend it, and in bad times, they don't spend it. You've got to do this.
All right. Is it almost inevitable that the bridges get tolled for more money?
I will leave up to Albany to find alternative revenue sources. We made our proposal a few years ago. As Stu said to me, a great line to use, we saw this train coming at us down the track, and it was just obvious what was going to happen. And
I'm afraid they're going to go to the federal government with stimulus money or whatever, and then they're going to use that. They've already taken next year's stimulus money and moved it this way into this year.
It's interesting. In Albany, they sort of, I think a lot of them think, oh, the federal government will bail us out. They'll never let this doomsday scenario of cutbacks happen. The federal government, in case you hadn't noticed, did not bail out California. And that was before Massachusetts. Massachusetts was, everybody reads different things into that election, but I think it's pretty clear the public is worried about deficits and doesn't want to spend any more government money. They're very unlikely to go and bail out states like New York and Illinois that have very big deficits, because they didn't do it with California, and California's had to raise tuitions and make big cutbacks and, you know, billions and billions of dollars. New York State is going to have to do it. Part of the burden is going to fall on New York City. I understand that. As long as it's not disproportionate, okay. If it is, we're going to fight, and I expect our assembly people and senators to not let that happen. That's their job. That's why they got elected, to have us treated no better and no worse than everybody else. And unfortunately, the governor's budget, his first proposal, treats New York very poorly, New York City, compared to the rest. And we're not going to stand for it. And we're going to hold our legislators' feet to the fire. That's their job.
All right. Something else that you predicted was going to happen, that the bonuses and the war against Wall Street.
I predicted the Jets were going to win the Super Bowl.
Well, there you go. So there's so much in that. But, you
know,
the bonuses, if they indeed were cut back, would affect the city, would affect the state. Bonuses now, generally speaking, in stock. In fact, it's restricted stock that you can't even sell.
Well, Ed Skiley gave a talk yesterday and said it. He's right, that if you don't pay out bonuses, we can't tax it, and then we don't have the revenues to pay our cops, firefighters, teachers. Our cops, firefighters, teachers, all municipal workers should be down there screaming, pay Wall Street people more. That's where their salaries come from, not the reverse. But I suggested, I was asked last week what I thought about holding back the bonuses until for a few years till you find out whether or not their trades that they made actually in the end
pay off.
And I think that is a great idea as long as Congress holds back their salaries to find out whether the laws they pass work out. I mean,
it's
if one thing's right, the other thing's right. I mean, Congress can do a lot more, have a lot more impact. I don't want to say damage, but a lot more impact than Wall Street has. And incidentally, you know what congressmen and senators make?
I think that's somewhere in the 175, isn't it?
You are exactly right. $175,000 a year. Now, do you know what the average person in New York City working in finance makes?
No, it's north of that, isn't it?
$70,000 a year.
Oh, if you take all the employees. Okay, yeah.
Right. Well, those people get laid off, too. As a matter of fact, they get laid off first.
Right.
These are our citizens. They make $70,000 on average, and the 175,000 people are criticizing them. I mean, there's something wrong here. We're trying to tear down industries that generate revenue, generate our taxes, let us lead a better life, employ our people. And what really annoys me is, if you think about it, the big expenses for the federal government to bail us out of this last chaos didn't come from the big banks. They paid back their money, and the government made a lot of money on the warrants they got and that sort of thing. It's one insurance company, AIG, and Detroit, the automobile companies. That's where all the money goes. There's some small banks. That is true. They got in trouble, but that's not where all the noise is. And I don't see the congressman from Michigan sitting around letting anybody bash the automobile industry, or the people, the elected officials from Texas. They wouldn't stand for 2 seconds for going after the oil industry, or California for IT and that sort of thing. Why are we picking on? This is our industry. This is the way we pay our employees and help people. New York City is one of the most generous cities in the world. The number of people living on the streets is so much lower per capita than any place else. We are the place that takes care of ourselves. But this is our tax base. That's how we do it.
Did you see the ad for Smith and Walensky? They said that they were going to start taking stock instead of cash for their steaks.
Steaks are good, but yeah. I don't know if they want
it. I thought it was a pretty clever way of doing it and underlying and underscoring the problem that described very, very well. There was a little tiny squib in the papers this week about New Jersey claiming that $70 billion worth of wealth has moved out of the state.
Yeah, I don't know how you measure the wealth, but look.
The point is, those people can't.
People will not leave America. Nobody's going to give up their American citizenship, or virtually nobody, to avoid taxes. But they can move from one city and state to another very easily to avoid taxes. And it's just like our companies, however, can leave America for other places. And you cannot have regulation or tax policy that is very different than what's available elsewhere, because people are mobile and they're going to do what's in their interest. They probably should.
The horse racing situation and the controversy over
casinos. I'll leave that to the governor. I have always been opposed to using gambling to get revenues because it tends to be very regressive. Poor people tend to spend money they don't have. They should be saving, and you know, it's not a good strategy to, instead of going to work, go to a casino. But there is the argument that if it's going to happen, well, then it might as well happen here, and people are going to other places. I will say I don't understand why, if you're going to do that, we should have casinos in New York City where the city gets the revenue, not in a couple of racetracks where the state gets the revenue and we don't get anything from it. It does not help the economy. I mean, I think it's just clear that there's virtually no evidence. And when you go and take a look at any of these big places where they have big gambling casinos in the surrounding neighborhoods, it just, you got to go two blocks and all of a sudden it's very poor. There's nobody getting help. It does create some jobs. It does generate some revenue. But it's not the panacea to solve all our problems in terms of tax revenue. You just can't spend money you don't have. The first thing to do is to say, let's make sure that we know what we're doing and that we want to do it and we do it efficiently. And then let's try to have as fair a tax system as we can. If you can find some other things, fine.
All right. Let me take a final break here. Then we'll get to the telephones, your questions. Let me see. Do we have anything opened up? We've got one. 800-321-0710. 800-321-0710.
John Gambling and Mayor Mike on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
All right, here we go, and it's your turn. We go right to the telephones, Mr. Mayor, and we start with Robert. Robert, what's your question?
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
Regarding the MTA.
Yep.
All the subsidiaries, like the Transit, the Long Island Railroad, Metro North, have their separate components, like, say, human resources.
Law, finance, stop me when you get bored. They're everything. Yes, you couldn't be more right.
And also their supply.
What's your question?
Well, my question was, why can't they look into that and make one human resource?
Well, number one, Jay Walder is trying to do that. Number two, there are problems because Albany protects. Each of those organizations has their own people. You say, let's combine, which means let's have fewer people. The trouble is the people who would get laid off are out there through their unions or their just phone calls, private calls, and trying to get Albany to prevent them. The fascinating one is the bus companies. You think New York, the MTA has one bus company? No. If you look on the side of the bus, there are these things. New York City bus companies say, it's a bus. Why are they telling us that? Because that's the name of one bus company. Then there's Mescapper. I forget what the letters stand for. It's another one. And each of them have their separate garages and their separate procurement policies. And as Robert points out, human resources and law and everything else. And so common sense says you do it. Yeah, sure. Common sense says you put red light cameras on corners and stop people from going through red lights and killing our seniors. You can't do it because we have this, and it's so hard. In all fairness to the president, I was reading today, he's trying to do some things, and everybody's got an objection to everything, and the special interests are dominating and keeping us from making and a lot of these common sense things. Robert's 100% right. That is one of the real things we should do, and Walder, in all fairness, is trying as hard as he can. But he's got to get Albany to go along, and that, unfortunately, is difficult.
All right, let's go to line number two. Line number two, is it Isha? Isha.
Yes, it is. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for your program, and Mayor, thank you for being here on Friday. I look forward to being informed by you.
Okay, well, thank you.
What's your question, Isha?
My comment is this. I know from hearing you that you're very interested in schools. I know for a fact that MTA workers who retire get full, not a full a card which permits them a lifetime to not pay fares. That's a lot of money, Mayor. A lot of money. And the thought that the children will lose their bus passes disturbs me. Would you look into whether or not that is still a policy? As of a year ago, I know that when they retire, they get a full...
Isha, my recollection was I knew that retired board members, maybe senior management, did. It was a year or two ago. There was a brouhaha about it. I didn't know that. Don't remember whether or not every employee. I will look into it. If John reminds me, we'll have a report for you next weekend. But, you know, the trouble is, once you give these things, it's chaos to get it back. And does it make any sense to give retirees free passes for the rest of their lives and not give our kids passes so they can go to school? No, it's pretty hard to argue that that was intelligent policy, but nevertheless, the retirees have a lot of muscle, and they were promised this, they would argue, and the current, you know, I guess you can argue that it's a reason to go to work for the MTA, so they have to pay less salaries in order to get good people, because down the road, they'll get a benefit, and you can go on and on and on and on. It doesn't make a lot of sense, though. You're 100% right.
All right, here we go. Line number 5 happens to be Walter. Hello, Walter. Right to the question, please.
Yeah, the question is, Mr. Mayor, if you were to receive money from the Obama administration, let's say $500 million for infrastructure, how long would it take for that money to get into the New York City economy?
We have this, just to put it in perspective, this year our capital budget for the city is $10 billion. So it'd be nice to get another $500 million. We have a lot of projects going. Everybody talks about shovel ready. Our projects are actually in the ground. And Walter, one of the problems we've always had in waiting for the federal government, some municipalities wait until they get the money, till they do things. We go ahead and do them and then try to get the money. For example, if we need a particular kind of hazmat equipment or tools for our first responders, I would never be able to look you in the eye and say, I'm sorry, Walter, we didn't get there to save your house or your family, because I was waiting for federal money before we bought it. We buy it and then go and try to get federal money. The problem is the federal government's policies basically do not let you get money for anything you've already bought. It's called sublimation or something like that. And sublimation, I think. And it makes it very difficult. $500 million would be nice in the grand scheme of things. It's not that much. Would it be out there right away? You know, we spend $10 billion a year, so figure over a year, you know, maybe a little bit less, a little bit longer. But we have the projects ready to go, and in fact, they've already been started. And you can see it yesterday or 2 days ago. I was in a tunnel under
the... That was extraordinary, the picture.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the new subway. We're building it with city dollars. It's part of our capital plan. The third water tunnel is all drilled, and now they're lining it, and it'll be open in a year or two. Our bridges, you can look at... Willis Avenue Bridge is being redone, but we've redone in the last 8 years almost every single bridge over the Harlem River. New York City, I think the numbers are, we have something like 1,400 bridges, and with the exception of one ramp that really has got a lot of potholes onto the Brooklyn Bridge, every one of our bridges is safe and in compliant with all the rules, and we will fix the Brooklyn Bridge one. It just would be chaos with traffic, so we're trying to figure out some ways where it won't cut down commerce totally in every place, but it's got to be done.
You're going to rip up my road? I take that every day.
Well, you see, that's thank you very much. But we at some point, yes, we are, because we have to do it.
I understand. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Always a pleasure. Thank you very much, sir, and we'll catch you next Friday.
Looking forward, and remind me, we've got to get back for Isha and give her a report.
The notes have been taken, sir. That's going to do it. Super Bowl Sunday. I'm pulling for the Saints. Hope your team is a winner, and we'll be back here on Monday at News Talk Radio 710 WR. Have a great weekend, everybody, and don't hurt your back shoveling snow.
You've just heard John Gambling. New York's best news talk continues next with Glenn Beck on 710 WOR and WOR HD.